Hello everyone, my name is Elizabeth Manns and I'd like to welcome you to the April 4th Coalition Show. This is our May 9th edition. It is week 110 and the 93rd show since the closure of the North Adams Regional Hospital and so forth. The April 4th Coalition's mission statement is, we are for workers' rights and collective bargaining rights and are against tax breaks for the rich and corporations who ship our jobs overseas. We also support Article 23 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and as is our custom, Dick is going to start us off with the first one, then John, then myself, and Mike.
Well, we're glad to have you back, Liz. It was hard without you last week.
I want to thank the guys for covering on the show last week. My boyfriend had knee replacement surgery, and I didn't get back from Pittsfield in time to take the show.
Okay. Article 23, Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Everyone has the right to work, to free choice of employment, to just and favorable conditions of work, and protection against unemployment.
Number two, everyone without any discrimination has the right to equal pay for equal work.
Number three, everyone who works has the right to just and favorable remuneration, ensuring for himself and his family an existence worthy of human dignity and supplemented, if necessary, by other means of social protection.
Number four, everyone has the right to form and join trade unions for the protection of his or her interests. Solidarity.
Since I've been out of the loop for a while, over a week or 2 weeks, does one of you want to catch me up on what's happening or what's going on?
Well, the Verizon workers are still out on strike, and Verizon has no intention of settling. They're just making it. They're just part of the entire trend of bringing instability to our entire society. They don't like the fact that people have good jobs, that working class is obsolete to the owners of this society. They don't want anyone to feel comfortable. They want everyone on edge.
And, yes, they do.
There was a time when I was a kid. You know, everybody had a job. It's just about, there were some hobos. I remember seeing hobos hanging out underneath the bridge and stuff, but mostly everybody had a job. And, you know, we had factories, everyone was put to work. What this government, or what our whole, the
corporate world? Corporate society?
I guess the owners, whoever the owners are, because they're gluttons, they're greedy, they want everything, and they don't want people to be stable. They don't care if we have a decent society or not.
And Mike, why do you think they don't want people to be stable?
Because they think the people on top got so used to taking the money that they don't have to give it back to the people on the bottom. And they figure if they break Verizon, they'll get to hire people at less cost. No insurance, no benefits.
Right.
And you know, these people are fighting for the future, not only the future of their jobs, but the future jobs on the road. And if you got a Verizon contract out there, I'm telling you people, you make sure that everything runs fine. If it isn't running fine, you call them up and demand service. Mm-hmm. They keep on saying they don't need the union members. Well, they get enough phone calls and they realize you have to have union membership and workers that can do the job.
Right.
Not just on the phone apologizing.
Right, they have to realize that years of training and experience come in handy, people are not replaceable cogs in a wheel.
But they want to break them down because I tell you something, nobody wants to have to go outside of town for 30 to 60 miles and for days on end, then pay your own way. Mm-hmm. And that's what they want people to do. They just want to break them down. They want to cut the contract back so far and add things to it. They know that no working man or woman can take it.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the richest corporations in the world. They can afford to pay their employees health benefits. They should pay their employee health benefits, not cut it back. They should pay for their employees if they have to travel. Don't force them to pay for themselves to travel great distances. Don't disrupt their lives. There has to be some decency that, you know, family life is very important. If you want a society, you have to create a society where people earn enough money to support their family, and family life, you know, continues to function. And without strong families, you don't have a strong society. And what these corporations are doing is all they're doing is attacking the working man and woman. They just don't want to give us an inch.
They wonder why crime goes up.
Right. And one of the issues that we wanted to talk about too is the opiate addiction.
Okay.
But we're also, you know, Bernie Sanders is, you know, we're supporting Bernie. So I just want to give you some information that I have here about Bernie Sanders and the drug policy.
Okay.
Since Bernie Sanders believes the United States' current war on drugs is a failed policy. He recognizes that the war on drugs has not quelled the drug use epidemic facing the nation. Instead, he advocates for treatment for drug addiction, not punishment. And he's repeatedly introduced legislation extensively reforming the criminal justice system along these lines. He supports medical marijuana and the decriminalization of recreational marijuana, and has said that he supports the right of states to opt for full legalization. He says the current state of the war on drugs is a failed policy that has served to increase unemployment, imprisonment, nonviolent offenders, and unfairly target blacks. The treatment for drug offenders, nonviolent offenders should not be incarcerated. Instead, they should be allowed to access affordable treatment to address their drug dependencies. You know, and that's what we're trying to.
And this is the direction this that is mass what, is going in.
Are this is what we're trying to push for here locally. The North County Cares Coalition, you know, we have a hospital up there that was closed. We have a few services up there, what they find to be profitable. But what we need, and that's what has to happen, is this hospital has to serve the needs of the people. And right now, there's no one that can argue the fact that we don't, that we have a need for an opiate drug treatment center. What we're asking for is a treatment center, to open a treatment center. What we're asked for is detox and clinical stabilization.
Correct.
You know, what inpatient treatment is available in North County? You know, there is
no inpatient in North County. You have to go down to Pittsfield to be in BHS after they finish renovating the new site
so,
and add another 15 beds down there.
You know, we need need the detox, but then we also need the clinical stabilization to follow that detox. And then we need inpatient programs that include counseling, education, and outreach to families and significant others to prevent relapses and aftercare planning. You know, this is what the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration suggests.
So
this is what we're asking for right now in North Berkshire. I mean, we have had a 55% increase in opioid addiction in Berkshire County and people seeking it. And there was a letter in the paper today.
Just to bring it down to a more human aspect of it. I have you do it, and if I butcher your name, Don, you have my apologies. It's Don Mullaney wrote this letter. Don Mullaney Windover, and she lives in Cheshire. Its heading is Bereaved Mother Asks for Some Understanding. To the editor, Sunday was my first Mother's Day since my son Derek died in October 2nd, 2015 from a heroin overdose. My mother gave me my first Mother's Day card in May 1991 when I was pregnant with Derek. I will never forget the feeling when I read that card and realized I was becoming somebody's mom. I have another son, so I am not childless like many other parents are from this horrible epidemic that has taken over our country and has killed many right here in Berkshire County and even more in the eastern part of the state. I am writing this letter because so many of you are so quick to call our children junkies and losers and liars that they made the choice and when they started using the drugs. Some have even said that our children deserved to die. What you do not realize is that these young adults, the millennial generation, have left behind broken hearts, bereaved parents, siblings, significant others. We are left trying to figure out what happened, where it went wrong, and what could we have done differently. And then some of you berate a deceased person who cannot explain or defend themselves. You who probably has no idea how hard some of these kids fought to fix the choices they made all by themselves. They had no idea they were already wired to lose a battle they knew nothing about. I do not want your pity. I want you to open your mind and educate yourself before the next time you feel a need to tell me my son deserved to die, that he was no good, that I must have done something wrong to make him turn out this way. I want you to know that I used to think the same way as you. I learned a very hard lesson that heroin or any kind of addiction does not discriminate. And Dawn, I'm going to share something I rarely share with people. In my family, we have a history of addiction, addictive patterns in it as well. My sister Marley was a heroin addict. She even got to the point so bad with her drug addiction that she was the getaway driver in a bank robbery. And she tried to fix it, but she, at her time, which was in the 80s and 70s, methadone was the thing of choice, which would be considered an opioid at this time as a way of curing the problem. And it did get her away from heroin, but she could never get away from methadone. And in the end run, she died at the age of 51 as a result of having methadone and alcoholism in her life from that stage on. And she left three children, my nephew Ryan, her niece, and her two nieces. And my nephew Ryan has the same addiction problem that she has. So yes, I empathize completely. I lost a sister to it. It was a long haul to the loss because she was able to get on methadone. But in the end run, she was just as much an addict as anybody else was.
It's really sad. I mean, I think back when I think of this heroin addiction problem. I think, you know, back to when I was a teenager, you know, I was a big fan of Neil Young. Mm-hmm. And he sang a song about, I seen the needle and the damage done.
Yes.
I seen the needle and the damage done, a little bit of us and everyone. And every junkie's like a setting sun. You know, it's really sad. They're human beings. Just like we read the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Everyone has the right to work, the free choice of employment, and protection against unemployment. It's every human deserves the dignity, I mean, and respect, you know. I mean, it's easy to cast stones at other people.
Or maybe to say it's their fault.
Maybe it makes that person,
I would almost guess nine times out of ten, the person who's casting the stone, it's out of fear.
It's ignorance, right?
Or ignorance, because they haven't experienced it yet, or they're afraid they will experience it.
We're sorry for your pain. We're sorry for all the other neighbors of ours' pain, because we don't have to look too far.
Nope.
Friends and family members, you know, we don't have to look far at all. That this situation has touched us all. And so what we're advocating for is to open up a treatment center. You know, Kenna Waterman, in a letter she wrote in support of our move to ask the city council to come out in favor of asking Berkshire Health Systems and the state to set up a treatment center here in North Adams, said that, you know, these people became addicted in our community.
They did.
And they should get treatment in our community, because the love and support of family and friends is what's going to help solve this problem. So we need to come together on this. You know, the people didn't have to drive to Pittsfield or long distances to get the heroin. The heroin's brought right to town.
Right, it's right there.
You know, so the treatment should be brought right to town too. And North Berkshire needs to have those treatment beds right here in North Adams.
So Dick, am I correct, and if I'm remembering this correctly, because I have been out for 2 weeks, Great Barrington is going to have a detox center, and Pittsfield already has one. We know that.
Well, Pittsfield is expanding theirs. They made a statement in the paper that, you know, they made their press release the night after we went to the city council. Just a coincidence, I guess.
We get it. But they always respond after we go to something.
You know, they tried to eclipse our going and asking for more treatment beds, and they even put a caveat in there that they have 21 treatment beds in Pittsfield and only 17 are occupied.
Oh, gee, so that
they
means
said that
four?
They said that
only
they
seven?
Said they said that, but I mean, we've had people calling just to see if there are any openings, and they always say no, there's no openings. And I talked to Kenna Waterman today, and she said no, there's not openings. When we call there, she didn't come to the meeting, last city council meeting, because she had to drive up to northern Vermont to bring a family friend to a treatment center. What we're asking the North Adams City Council to do is to pass a resolution. We've developed a draft resolution, and it's going to be presented at tomorrow night's meeting, and hopefully it'll be read, but it's going to be sent to a committee so other people can have input and we can get a final version that we can get everybody behind. But this is the draft. Whereas addiction to opioids is a critical state and national issue that has disproportionately impacted the communities in North Berkshire County. Whereas the impact of opiate addiction in North Adams are exacerbated by poverty and the lack of transportation and high incidences of other health problems. Whereas the number of North Adams residents seeking treatment for opiate abuse has increased by 376% over a 10-year period. Whereas the Massachusetts Department of Public Health Commission Stroudwater report asserted the need for 10 to 11 inpatient behavioral health and substance abuse beds to meet the needs of North Berkshire County residents. Whereas healthcare professionals, addiction treatment specialists, and families of people with addiction have identified the urgent need for inpatient opiate detox and crisis stabilization beds in North Berkshire County. Therefore, be it resolved that we call upon Berkshire Health Systems, state officials, to respond to the urgent healthcare needs of North Adams and North County residents and open inpatient detox treatment and inpatient crisis stabilization at the North Adams campus in conjunction with outpatient services to meet the needs of people with opioid addiction and provide them with the best chance for a full recovery. Be it further resolved that the city clerk be directed to send copies of this resolution to David Phelps, President and Chief Executive Officer of Berkshire Health Systems, Berkshire Healthcare Systems, the Berkshire Health Systems Board of Trustees, Senator Ben Downey, Representative Gail Caridi, Mary Lou Sutter, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Monica Burrell, MPH, Department of Public Health Commissioner, and Maura Healy, Attorney General. So that's our proposed draft that we're going to have sent to, I believe, this Public Safety Committee, mm-hmm. and we're going to try to work on this.
What do you feel about the saying about the detox center, John?
No, they should have it open.
I mean, there shouldn't
Definitely.
Even be a question about
before.
That. We could have it open up there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like the parsing, just the greed and the parsing is what drives you nuts with BHS, is that they're
right.
just...
It's like
the, thinking it...
Well, the problem, like, no family doesn't act in a fast pace, Great Barrington will get the next one. Mm-hmm. And what we will get once again is a token. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I think Richard has said it in the past, is this as easy for the doctors and the caregivers from Pittsfield who do all this to come up here instead of 200 people down to Pittsfield? It's a lot easier for one or two people to come up from there and take care of the problem.
Yeah.
And somehow the next time somebody tells you it's not that long of a ride, well, the ride can go both ways. So mm-hmm. it's about time now we can get these people from down in South County, from the BHS group and BMC, to get up, drive up here if we need a doctor, do the things we need. Mm-hmm. You can open up a hospital. Everything we have is in the Stroudwater report. We need a hospital. We need a drug detox center. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody pay for this report. And it's just like if mm-hmm. the people, powers to be, don't agree with it because it's North Adams, they just don't do it. I think it's about time that we stop making BMC become a part of the community mm-hmm. and not just somebody who comes up here and gives us token to make money off it. And that's all they're doing now, is making money and not giving anything back to the community.
It seems like North Adams, all throughout the years, it seems like people come in here and take, and then they take off. Mm-hmm. They keep
Pretty
taking
much.
From the town.
They keep open for profit, and then
yeah.
once
they
the
use
profit
the town
dries
for
up,
the
they
desperate
leave.
People that live
right.
here.
We need to have a real turnaround. We have
we
to,
do.
You know, we
have
need...
To.
We need to have, you know, jobs. We can't go on this long, you know, without employment for people.
No, I'll tell you, next time a company wants to move the company out, leave an empty building here, mm-hmm. especially if we're making money, and it's a proven fact they can still open it, then they ought to make them pay a tax for even, and put that tax for putting people back to work. And that's where they want to go overseas to make their money, that's fine. But they're going to leave something behind out of their wallet.
I think
about time to start taking it back.
They should deduct our taxes about
20%.
Because we lost the hospital. That's Everybody who has property here should get a tax deduction of 20%
because
they don't have a hospital.
Your land really isn't that as valuable as
nope.
it is, but yet real estate taxes.
So you pay $1,000, now you pay $800.
I think that Jack's got a good point, though, that BMC and BHS, they don't want a hospital in North Adams. then fine, give us nonprofit status. Mm-hmm. Man up to and say, hey, we're here for a profit. Because right now, they're here for the profit, but they still get the nonprofit tax breaks. It's about time to take it away from them. They don't want to create jobs the way they should do it. They should put the money back in the city, let somebody else run a healthcare program, benefit the people here, and cut them out of the loop. They're a nonprofit. Oh, yeah.
I think it's supposed to be a service, it's not make money.
What? And ask Mike, Dick asked you to go to the library today, did he not?
I don't know if he asked. I think he got
Dick always asks in a way that you cannot refuse.
Oh, okay. Thank
but
you.
He asks.
I did go there and I did talk to Elizabeth Warren's aides. I talked to Gil Caridi.
Oh, Elizabeth didn't make it because the paper said she was going to be
there.
But
the aides were there. They had a really good, they were really good informative. And, what I talked to aides about was the Social Security problem that the bills pile up. Because
yes, they do.
You live on a fixed income. Even though Medicaid may pay 80%, whatever it may be, they pay $500 after $50. Mm-hmm. But if $50 comes out of a budget where there's no money left in it, especially don't get a pay increase. When the cost of, when they say, well, the cost of living didn't go up, well, that's fine. But for the people who are living on Social Security and all this,
when the prices go up,
the problem is the prices go up, we pay more. Mm-hmm. So we need a cost of living. I told them, how they got to do it, make the system right for the very people who fought for the country and their families and everybody else. And that's the senior citizens, they gave. And it's about time they get something back. They shouldn't have to fight for the nickel and dime.
Shouldn't have to worry about working with it. Some of these people say they were working, they're going to have to work through their 70s. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And you look around now, a lot of the people who are working in all the jobs that used to go to the youth, to the high school student, are now being occupied by the seniors because they're not making their ends meet with the Social Security pension and anything else.
Think about the system compared to when Richard was growing up, as he talked about. Back then, you could go to work. You had a job. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to have a college education. No. You could go to work in a factory and make as much money as your family is making. Mm-hmm. You could make the American dream. Mm-hmm. And now, people, I'm telling you something. You got to get organized out there because they're taking the American dream away from our youth. And then you wonder why there's drug addiction and everything else. Because we don't give them any hope. Mm-hmm. About time for us to get up and give them hope as a group. And right now, we're not doing it. The city of North Adams needs to get up as a group and stop fighting for decent paying jobs in the city. Right. And they can do that.
And if, private industry can't do it, then it's the obligation of the government to do it. There's plenty of work to be done. Yeah. There's plenty of things that need to be repaired. I think that's one of Bernie Sanders' things.
That is one of Bernie's things.
He wants to put money into infrastructure and put people to work. You want to rebuild the flood control chutes? Well, don't use high tech. Let's use low-tech, put as many people to work doing that job, train them, make them build things of lasting value.
Well, the state parks is not, well, the
state
gets
state
grant.
We did a special show on the Civil Conservation Corps and the Works Progress Administration that
Franklin Roosevelt founded, right?
You know, that he instituted.
He created to get us through the Depression.
And that wasn't a reaction. You know, I listened to this speaker, and he talked about it. He grew up in the Noam Chomsky. He said he grew up during the Depression. He said, but things were never as depressing as they are now. He said even they had hope that they were going to fix things after the Depression, you know, when Roosevelt came in and he put people to work. But right now the owners or the moneyed influence has completely bought our political system.
There's no hope.
And they're taking away the hope. I mean, when I was a kid, we had CETA program or the Youth Corps. Mm-hmm. I could be a Youth Corps worker. I was 13 years old. And my father was a custodian, and he never, you know, he quit school in eighth grade.
Wow,
you know,
do that now.
After eighth grade, you know, I always felt sorry for him that he went to work, but he was a big man and he got a job on the railroad. But, you know, I always felt bad that he quit work, when I interviewed him just, you know, a few months before he died, he says, well, you know, if you got a job in eighth grade, you didn't have to go to high school.
You just hated school that much, huh?
It was amazing because back then people had hope, you had money, you had a future. And if we don't get back on our feet and start taking the country back, I'm going to tell you something. The next time a Ford company wants to go to Mexico and build, mm-hmm. then that's fine. Because I'll tell you something, you want to send those Ford products back over here, then what you would do is pay the difference. You pay the workers over there, and you take that money back from them in the form of a tax, and you create jobs out of money. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, if you want to go send your jobs to Mexico, work $3 or $4 an hour, because you don't want to pay people here decent wage, that's fine. Then you take that $11, $19, whatever it may be, and you put it right back into the kitty, and we put the American people back to work at a decent wage, because they don't want to do it. They pay the price no matter what the hell they do. About time to take the country back, folks. Yeah. And every poor person out there, I'm telling you right now, is not going to get butter. You better get up. You register to vote, because if every poor person in this country got up and voted, we would take over the country. It'd be run right. And I'm going to tell you something. In North Adams, you go down to City Hall, you register 100 people, I'm going to tell you something, you'll make an impact.
It will.
Do it, folks. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we encourage
take Donald Trump, give him a shovel, get the work.
He sends jobs to Mexico himself.
Yes, well, he does, and he hires
not him. Not him.
If he ever gets in office, we are in a sad state of affairs.
If people vote for hope and not hate, they'll never get in office. I still believe that the American people know what he is. He's a bully. He's a liar. He cannot debate the issue, so he'll do the attack.
I heard Bernie Sanders say that love trumps hate.
It will, I'm telling you. It sure
love
it's
trumps
the simplest thing in the world. I'll tell you something. Remember one thing Donald Trump did say in one of his campaigns, that the American workers are the problem. They're making too much money. Wow. And if you don't believe he said it, look at his campaign.
He's retreating on what he said to the New York Times.
If you look at his
statements, if you look at his business record, his businesses filed bankruptcy several times.
Because he made money off it.
Right, and so he was talking about the national debt, and he was talking to the New York Times, and I believe this is that he said, well, you know, people are going to have to take a haircut. That's a saying that they use in the business world where you don't get owed. You only get half of what you're owed.
Oh, yeah.
So what he's saying is he wants to bankrupt the entire country. Yeah. The people who have money invested in government securities all over the world, or even us. You're going to get 50 cents on the dollar. He wants to do the same model that he ran his businesses on. File bankruptcy and screw everybody else, you know?
Right.
He's not for us.
This
is a man who wants to give everybody a nuclear bomb because they sneeze.
Yeah, well, listen.
You
said something about carpet bombing, too.
He's a very dangerous man.
But he said that he had a high draft number, but then when they asked him a little bit further, they found out that he had bone spurs.
He got the rich man disease. He ran. If I was a vet, I don't say you could vote for a man who was a coward, who didn't support his country, and then he stood up there and badmouthed John McCain, who is a hero, because he was a POW, folks. And Donald Trump made fun of him for not being a hero when he gave up his opportunity to leave as a POW and let somebody else go home in his place. And Donald Trump said he isn't a hero. Donald Trump is a coward. He hasn't got a backbone. He's a vet. You can't vote
for him.
Hey,
guys,
power to the people.
Power to the people.
Of the buses we must fight for, in the cities and the farmlands, the trenches full of mud. War has always been the buses wiser. The Union forever defending our rights, down with the black leg, the workers unite, with our brothers and our sisters from many far off lands. There is power in a union. Now I long for the morning that they realize brutality and unjust laws cannot defeat us. But who'll defend the workers who cannot organize? And the bosses send their lackeys out to